Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ontex's second quarter and half year 2016 results conference call. This call is being recorded. Today's call will be hosted by Charles Boissies, Chief Executive Officer, and Jacques Pierrot, Chief Finance Officer. Following the presentation, an interactive Q&A session will be available. Copies of today's announcement and presentation are available on www.ontexglobal.com. I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor statements apply to this presentation and to the subsequent Q&A session. I would now like to hand the call over to Charles Boissies. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and many thanks for attending our first half 2016 financial review. Well, to start with the highlights of the semester, I would like to make a few remarks up front. First, against the backdrop of a challenging environment, we have delivered a resilient performance this semester with double-digit revenue and adjusted EBITDA growth, thanks to solid performances, not only in our developing markets, but also in healthcare division. While we have absorbed a tougher period this year for revenue in mature market retail, we have continued taking the right steps to improve our revenue performance in the second half of the year 2016 and beyond. You will probably recall that we have always spoken about our aim to deliver sustainable, profitable growth, and our margins in H1 confirm we are making progress. We have done this while also completing our deal with Grupo Mabe at the end of February, and working hard since then on integrating and rapidly welcoming our new colleagues into the Ontex family. I'm pleased to see that this is well on track, as well as the continuous transformation of growth of our organization. That is a great definition of sustainability. With that in mind, let me delve into our key metrics for the semester. Reported group revenues amounted to 963 million euro, an increase of 12.9% on a reported basis, including Grupo Mabe for 4 months of 2016 only. Like-for-like sales growth was stable year-on-year, as we anticipated in Q1, and pro forma revenue at constant currency was up 2.3% year-on-year, demonstrating the beneficial impact of our diversification and the inclusion of Grupo Mabe in our new perimeter. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 12.2% to 123 million euros. This includes 4 months of Grupo Mabe, as well as the first deal synergies. Adjusted margin broadly stable year-on-year, with a 12.8% adjusted EBITDA margin for the first half. You have to note, it's very important that we face nearly 28 million euro of headwinds in first half of 2016, which is almost equivalent to the headwinds of the full year of 2015. Our net debt ended up at 660 million euro. Hence, leverage is at 2.97 times EBITDA, just below 3 times after the integration and the impact of the acquisition of Grupo Mabe. This includes 97.6 million euro of acquisition-related earn-outs. The leverage based on LTM adjusted EBITDA, and this includes 4 months of Grupo Mabe. Working capital and CapEx figures are within our expectations for the first semester. Before moving to further details of our performance, I would like to provide you with a few key topics. Please, if you can go to slide 6. Looking at the market environment, what are we seeing? In fact, while markets continue to grow, underlying the fundamental attractiveness of our categories, the rate of growth has been slower across our divisions. In mature market retail, third-party data for the year to May, from January 2016 to May 2016, shows a drop in both baby care and fem care categories, while adult incontinence continues to grow. This results into a slight value decrease overall. In developing markets, countries like Russia and Turkey also grew, albeit at a slower pace than last year. In both developed and developing markets where we are present, pricing is playing a role in this slowdown. Price increases taken during 2015 in developing markets are rolling over, reducing their impact on revenue. We observe increased promotional activities by branded players in both developed and developing retail markets, possibly related to some currency stabilizing or strengthening over the past months. Now turning to the true performance, which is the market share developments. So far in 2016, so on the same period, which is Jan to May, third-party data indicates that retailer brands maintain their strong share in Western Europe and continue to take share in Russia. We have grown ahead of the markets, which is very important for us, in growth markets and MENA, and in mature retail markets, we had, as stated before, a lower share of retailer brands entirely in baby care. And this is driven by some contract lost in 2015 and impacting 2016 first half. We maintained, though, our share in fem care, and we grew our share in incontinence. Secondly, I would like to update you on how we are progressing with Grupo Mabe. At the end of the year and at the first quarter, Jacques told you that we give you a brief update on where we are with Grupo Mabe integration. Well, I'm very pleased to report that the performance is in line with our expectations. Great people with deep market knowledge building strong brands in one of the largest markets in the world. As we said during our last results call, we have started to capture synergies from the deal, which will help to improve Mabe's profitability. If you remember, we explained that the Mabe profitability prior to the acquisition was lower than the average of Ontex, and that the synergies would help us to bring Mabe at the level of Ontex that would translate into a stable EBITDA margin for 2016. That's what we told you when we announced the deal. Teams are working together to explore already joint commercial and operational opportunities, especially in overlapping markets such as in mature market retail division. To give you an example, in a very short period of time, we succeeded to transfer the sourcing of some of the products sold in Western Europe by Mabe through our plant in Segovia, hence reducing not only the carbon footprint, but more importantly, the costs of delivering to our customers. Given current Mabe's capex run rate and the need for capacity expansion due to strong growth, we expect 16 and 17 OPEX to be in the range of 3.5 to 4%. Now, if we start getting into the next page, which will give you a broader picture on the total group on page 7, slide 7. Looking at group revenue, you can see our progress, especially bearing in mind my comments on the trading environment in H1 2016. On the sales bridge charts, group revenue grew on the back of volume growth and inclusion of Mabe's revenue for 4 months, while recording negative price mix and significant forex headwinds. Overall top-line performance was driven by our sales in developing markets, highlighting our interest to further grow outside of Western Europe. One very important point to remember from the call is just like to add this element is the proportion of Ontex revenue generated outside of Western Europe on H1 reached 46%, but with only taking into account 4 months of Mabe contribution. So this is a step further in the transformation of our geographic footprint for Ontex. Now, let me enter into more details getting by every division review. So on slide 8, I'll start with the mature markets retail. The decrease in Q2 and H1 was in line with our expectations, mainly as we continue to impact by some contract losses, as I said, from 2015. We also saw more aggressive pricing by international brands in the Western Europe baby diaper segments. and performance consequently varied across our various markets, with revenue higher year-on-year in countries like Italy, Poland, and slight declines in U.K. and France. What I can say is you can be reassured that our team in mature retail market has worked very hard to reinforce our efforts to support our retail partners with innovation, high-quality products, a very high service level, so a great operational performance, and working hard to prepare the second half of the year, and also, more importantly, 2017. If you flip to slide 9, which deals with America's retail division, the division encompasses nearly all of the sales of Grupo Mabe consolidated since March. It excludes just the part that is in Western Europe. So we are working hard on the integration, including and capturing procurement synergies. And I'm pleased to report that we are on track and progressing extremely well. The business is performing as we expected, with higher sales of our brands across baby care, adult inco and femme care categories in Mexico. Year-to-date pro forma revenue has risen 12.4% at constant currency, which is a very good result and confirms why we are excited about this transaction. Now, if you go to page 9, which is which is the growth market divisions, we are turning to another one of our growth engines. Against the decelerating market growth rates I mentioned before, we are pleased to see the progress in the growth market divisions. Revenue on the first half was up 20.2% on a like-for-like basis, well ahead of our estimated market growth, that is low double digits. Volume growth in Russia and Central and Eastern Europe was the primary driver of our higher sales. Well, I would like also to highlight that Russia and Central and Eastern Europe continue to grow well in Q2. When division revenue grew at 15%, this was mainly impacted by some slowdown in some exports market from the division, so outside of those geographies. Positive impact of pricing on our revenue slowed over the first 6 months of 16, in part due to currency dynamics and related market pricing from some competitors. Now, if you go to slide 11, which is Middle East and North Africa, I'm happy to see that our brands driving volume-led growth in a majority of our markets, namely Algeria, Turkey, Pakistan, and even exports markets. And all in all, divisional revenue increased at a very high 15.4% on the first half of the year on a like-for-like basis, another engine of growth for Ontex. In Turkey, competitor pricing dynamics have become more volatile. This includes increased promotional activity by international brands. Average selling prices for Ontex have risen, partially compensating the currency devaluation, also contributed to H1 revenue growth. From an operational standpoint, we continue to invest on our leading brands, including Chan Bebe and Chan Ped, where in Turkey we have used insight based on consumer research to relaunch the brand behind a new product with front and back barriers on our baby diapers. And we plan to invest significantly on the marketing front to get our product even well known and further known by the Turkish consumers on the second half of the year. Now, getting to the last division, healthcare, on slide 12, and leaving the retail channels. We are in a market which is estimated to have flat growth at best, and we delivered a solid performance with revenue up 1.7% in the first half of the year on a like-for-like basis. Revenue grew on a like-for-like basis in Italy, in Spain, and in the UK, with sales lower in France and Germany year-on-year. But the first mentioned countries are where we have, for two of them, a leading position in the market. Sales via home delivery developed positively in Germany and Italy, as we continue to leverage our expertise in this channel in multiple markets. Now, before leaving the word to Jacques, I would like to close this first part with our view on the different categories, which is on slide 13. Baby care like-for-like revenue was down due to the performance of mature retail markets and the contract losses last year and the impact on the first half. We have seen a higher degree of promotional campaign activity by international brands. But importantly, reported revenue was up 20%, including Mabe. For adult Inco, revenue was up 4.2% on a like-for-like basis in H1, on the back of a slight increase in revenue in institutional channels, a solid 13% growth in retail channels, and reported revenue was almost 6% higher, including Mabe. On fem care, our revenue was down 0.2% for H1, up 1.6% in Q2, slightly ahead of retail brand market performance in Western Europe, while reported revenue was up 2.7% when we include Mabe. This concludes my comments on the first half performance, and I will now hand over to Jacques, who will present you the financials before getting to the outlook. Jacques, thanks.
So, thank you, Charles. Morning, everybody. To complement what Charles has shared, I will now focus on other P&L and balance sheet items in the next slide, starting with a review of profitability, and for that you can move on slide 15. So, where we speak about adjusted EBITDA margin. Based on an adjusted EBITDA growth of more than 12%, you can see our EBITDA margins remain pretty stable in H1. Adjusted EBITDA of 123 million was in part driven by the consolidation of Grupo Mabe and its related synergies, as well as by the strong increase in gross margin. During the semester, we continued to invest in the company, thereby strengthening the foundation for future growth. Now, as a context for gross margin, the overall cost of our main commodity raw materials in H1 were lower in their reference currencies than in the same period last year. Prices for fluff pulp, denominated in US dollar, continued to be very high. The total cost of commodity raw material based on crude oil were lower in the first half of 16, with most of the benefit in the first quarter. Based on current indices, we anticipate that oil-based commodities will be beneficial to cost year on year for quarter three. Also, our portfolio of projects to capture efficiency gains continue to deliver savings. This benefit, coupled with the commodity raw materials tailwind I just mentioned, helped us to more than offset adverse forex impacts, leading to gross margin expansion. Currency-wise, the main adverse currency movements came from US dollar, Russian ruble, Turkish lira, Polish zloty, and also the Algerian dinar. Additionally, the Mexican peso also weakened against the euro, and looking ahead to the second half, you can imagine we continue to expect the currency environment to remain negative for us. So now, if we move to the slide 16, we're going to say some words about the non-recurring costs. H1 mainly impacted for antitrust claim, as you can see, with a 5 million on 5 million on the Spanish antitrust claim. The other elements you can see are also based on the some elements of the cost linked to the acquisition of Grupo Mabe. Now moving to the free cash flow, which is on slide 17. Free cash flow generation in H1 was 108 million, which is a slight increase compared to last year. There are a number of factors that have impacted free cash flow generation, and this includes 12.2 increase in adjusted EBITDA for sure. Working capital has been at 10.6% of revenue, and you know it's below our target where we say 12% of revenue. How was it achieved? It was specially helped by the sale of the remainder of our Italian VAT receivable. For those who have been with us for some time, you remember we have a backlog in Italian VAT, which we could sell over time. We had also higher outflow for inventories as we are building stock ahead of a plant move in France. And you will remember that it's linked to the fact we are bringing together two plants in the north of France, and for sure we are building some safety stock. If you look at CapEx as a percentage of sales, it's lower than our full year guidance, and this is due to phasing, which is more weighted towards H2. We had a similar pattern, by the way, last year. As Charles mentioned, we expect full-year CapEx to be between 3.5% and 4% of sales, and this including the impact from Grupo Mabe and ongoing IT investments in our SAP systems. If we now talk about net debt and leverage, it's on the slide 18, and you know it's an important parameter. We have now a net debt of 660 million, and that including almost 100 million of acquisition earnouts. Note that these earnouts are subject to fluctuation due to currency movement, as they are mainly denominated in Mexican peso. Leverage, based on last 12 months EBITDA for H1 2016, was 2.97. It does include 4 months contribution of EBITDA from Mabe. By the way, it's in line with our expectation at the time of announcing the deal. Also important to keep in mind that it's within our leverage range, which is a comfort zone of between 2.5 and 3.5 times. The available liquidity is made up of 144 million in cash and cash equivalent and 200 million available under our term loan C and our revolving credit facility. It brings us to 344 million, which is also showing how we are strengthening our balance sheet and liquidity. If you look at the chart on the right, I would just like to point out, and it's a little bit technical, that the net debt in the past did not include acquisition-related earnouts, which were very limited, and this were the Serenity earnout. We felt that given the size of the Mabe earnout, it would be prudent to start including it in net debt to give a more complete picture, which would mean net debt for June 30, 2015 would have been 10 million higher. That said, the Serenity earnouts were always on the balance sheet, so there is nothing different about the mechanism of the two earnouts. I'd like now to hand over to Charles to close and with the outlook for the rest of the year. Charles?
Thank you, Jacques. Well, I hope that this short presentation has given you a good overview of our market and our performance within that for the past 6 months. Keeping all of this in mind, I would like to briefly discuss our expectations for the balance of the year. Well, first, in terms of top line, we expect the second half of the year will see an improvement in our performance, and we expect to deliver like-for-like growth within our mid-term range of 4-6%. This is based on several elements. The first one is expectation that mature market retail will return to growth thanks to commercial progress on one side that has been made in the last few months, and also a much lower impact of the contract losses in 2015 that will, of course, play in our favor now on the balance of the year. Second, additionally, we expect that our growth engines, MENA, growth markets, and Americas retail, will continue to post solid like-for-like performance, while healthcare will remain on the same trajectory. In terms of profitability, we expect to have a group-adjusted EBITDA margin for the full year 2016, at least in line with full year 2015, which is namely at least 12.4%. This includes the dilutive impact of the Grupo Mabe deal that we have discussed on the previous occasions and reminded before, as well as a higher impact of Forex fluctuations, as we continue to see a lot of volatility with everything that is going on in the various markets in which we operate. Synergies from the Mabe deal, lower raw material costs for all base commodities, and our efficiency savings that are part of the DNA of Ontex will also help to offset some of these negative impacts. Net, this is constituting a solid and resilient business model where we start the journey a long time ago. I would like just to, before closing, remind you that, well, state two elements. One, we plan to pass the 2 billion euro milestone by the end of the year in revenue and deliver $250 million of EBITDA. Just as a reminder, 5 years ago, this represents a growth of 65% in revenue and almost doubling the EBITDA in 5 years' time. So we would like to reiterate that we continue to focus on execution and revenue generation efforts, but while remaining very disciplined in this challenging macro environment to protect our bottom line and continue to expand our bottom line. With that, I would now like to hand the call back to the operator, and we would be very happy to take any questions from the participants. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is turned off to allow your signal to reach your equipment. A voice prompt on your phone line will indicate when your line is open to ask a question. Again, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Ian Simpson of Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions from me, if I could. Firstly, that 9% decline in mature market retail in the second quarter, would you mind breaking that out into price and volume, or giving us some indication at least as to what pricing in baby diapers in Western Europe did quarter on quarter? And secondly, when I look at the first half, your gross margins were up 140 bips, but your EBITDA margins were flat. Now, you know, some of that it looks like was sales and marketing costs going up, but you also had admin costs up 60 bips. I just wondered if you could talk at all about what drove those increases and whether we might see any of that unwind as you realize Mabe synergies. Thank you very much.
So thanks for the questions. I'll start with the second one because, in fact, you're pointing out what I tried to say very briefly on the call, that is the build-up of our organization and the transformation of Ontex. And if you remember, and I don't know if you followed us since June of 2014, we clearly stated that we are transforming the company, moving from a manufacturing company into a consumer goods operator. This means that we have had a lot of capacity in the system, in a lot of functions, a lot of capability. This translated into an accelerated growth of our structure. And when I said it's profitable, sustainable growth, I said the sustainability dimension is exactly what you describe. We are continuing our margin expansion while continuing our top line, while at the same time we are strengthening the organization and increasing costs. I've seen in my life so many companies that were planning to cut costs just to deliver their bottom line. It's exactly what we want to avoid. We really want to build for the future of the company. And indeed, you're right to note that on our cost base, or as SG&A are growing, and we expand, and we expect indeed at a certain time a leverage. But we are still in the phase of the catch-up in terms of structure. And again, this doesn't change our outlook on the second half of the year. So our growth expansion in terms of organization will not prevent us from delivering our bottom line expansion. Now, on your first question, which is on the performance of mature market retail, first of all, as we stated in Q1 and at the end of the year, we knew that the first half was the challenge of the full year, and it would be a hockey stick. And indeed, as planned and anticipated, it's a decline of 9%. This is really a combination of volume and price as well. As I tried to highlight it in the notes, we have some contract losses that translate into, of course, a volume loss. And on the other side, I alluded to the competitive landscape, not only the international brands, but also on the retail brands. There's pricing competition, so it's a mix of the two. Now, on the other side, for us, why we continue to deliver on our bottom line is, as we say, we are very disciplined on the management of the margin, of the gross margins. And as a consequence, we also play on the mix and not only on the revenue, so the mix being the categories, the different tiers on the product, as well as the different channel mix, customer mix, and geographies. So that's that combination that helps us to deliver the bottom line, while on this division in the short term, having this little decrease in the course of the first 6 months of the year.
Thank you very much. Would it be right to think that the decline was roughly half volume and half price?
Well, I would not. I don't think it would. It should help you. What you really need to keep in mind is, as we said, is our goal and our plans and objective of the team is to get back to growth, and that's probably more important to look forward. In terms of analysis, as I said, directionally, it's clearly a combination of some of the volume loss in some customer as well as some pricing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Solange Timp of ABN AMRO.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. I had a question about growth markets because previously you could always compensate the negative currency effects mainly of the Russian ruble with price increases, but it now reaches that's not the case anymore. So what to assume? Are like-for-like growth rates of above 20% still realistic, or do you expect it to be down? So could you tell me more about that market and what you expect for the future?
Okay, so thanks for your question. I think it's what we stated, if you remember, we had a very strong Q1, and we said our projection is roughly in the 20% range on a run rate basis. So I think if you look at the first half, it's where we are, and that's indeed a decrease on Q2. Our belief is, as we said, it's when we talk gross market, you have to keep in mind that it's not only Russia, Central and Eastern Europe, but also markets that are international and exports markets in this division. So without getting into too many details on one specific market, as you know that we don't, for competitive reason, we don't want to share too much data with our competitors on our performance. What is clear is the slowdown was driven by mainly the markets that were outside of Russia on the Q2. Now, to your point, we are cautiously monitoring indeed the impact of the Russian ruble on the local performance. What is very important to keep in mind is we have two parts of businesses. We have our branded business and we have our retail brands. And in fact, the shoppers and the consumers, some of them are shifting from the branded part into retail brand because of the current economic constraints. So this helps us to mitigate the risk of slowdown in terms of growth in this country, because we are playing on the two sides of the market. Now, the reality is there is high volatility. So I don't know today, I think the ruble is at 72 or 73, depending. It was at 69 a week ago. So in our view, if it stays, what we project and what we claim on the second half of the year is assuming that the Forex is more or less in line with what we experience on the first half of the year. I wish I would have a crystal ball to predict the second half and see how the movement of the Russian ruble will be doing. But I would say our best protection also is the fact that we have also increased our capacity of production into Russia. So we try also to mitigate the risk of the Russian ruble to accelerate the in-housing of our production locally, instead of importing the finished goods from other plants from our group. So that should help to mitigate that risk as well. And last, we play also on our business growth with the launch of the brand and our plans to maintain our growth algorithm.
Okay, great, thanks. I had another question, small one, about the court case in Spain. I know it's about 5 million euros, and you just said that you included it in non-recurring items. Does it mean that is it still running, or is it already decided that you have to pay that?
So in fact, about this, it's not really a court case. Huh? It's a claim which has been put for anti-competition, and we are only one of several companies who have been, impacted. Several competitors have been much more impacted than ourselves, by the way. And this is obviously open. It's not decided. We have decided to appeal. When we published our press release about this case, we already mentioned we would appeal, and which is what we do. And so this is not to be put as it's considered as a court case. Mm-hmm. And we have, being prudent, we have obviously already provided for this disclaimer.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Yep.
And I would say it's not a small question. Huh? It's a question we tackle every element of our operations with the same level of importance and granularity. So thanks for all your question.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We'll now take our next question from Fernand de Boer of Degroof Petercam.
Yes, good morning. Fernand de Boer, Degroof Petercam. A couple of questions my side. One is on the Coop and Mabe. It looks that in the second quarter, growth was a little bit less than in the first quarter. Could you give some indication on that one? The second one is on the coming back on the gross margin question. I think also quite some part has to do with the consolidation of Coop and Mabe, which in my view has higher gross margin but also higher SG&A. Could you give some flavor on that? And then on the financial charges, only 14 million net, what could we expect there, let's say, for the cash out on financial charges for the full year? And also a little bit the same on what kind of tax rate do you see for the full year? Thank you.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the second question because I didn't get it?
I think that that part of the gross margin improvement also is due to the thanks to the consolidation of Grupo Mabe, which I think, given its branded business, has a higher gross margin than the private label business. Is that a correct assumption, and could you give some flavor on that, as it also has, of course, higher SG&A and marketing costs?
Should we? Yeah, we can maybe start with this one on our gross margin. In fact, you're right that in theory, as we are selling branded business in Grupo Mabe, the gross margin is normally slightly higher than in retailer brand, because same as for all branded. Because it's branded, so that the P&L setup is different. Now, the really critical improvement in our gross margin has come from our savings program, which has been very successful, as well as the synergies we are capturing, and where we are also extremely, let's say, happy about that. Now, talking about more the G&A, sales and marketing, you are also right that in the P&L of Mabe, we see a slightly higher sales and marketing cost, which are impacting also the structure of our total P&L. And that's why also you see this potentially not finding back in the EBITDA margin as much as we would expect from the gross margin improvement. So you're right, but I want you to put in, let's say, forward that the biggest impact on our gross margin is efficiency gains and synergies, with obviously a very negative, as you have seen, Forex impact. I take the third question, which is net finance cost and the tax rate. Tax rate is, we have, you see, we come at 27.5, I think. We said we would be in the high 20s. This is better than what we anticipated some months ago. And you know, by the way, that next to that, we have started an appeal against the excess profit ruling claim we've got from the EC. On tax rate, we are, I would say, we are positive and we are moderately optimistic about the evolution of our tax rate for the future. We think today we're going to be better than the high 20s we had announced for the full year, because we have some projects. On the finance cost, we will remain more or less at the same level. Obviously, in this finance cost, you know, this is part is interest rate, obviously, but part is also linked to Forex, be it obviously our hedging cost, but also being an impact from the revaluation of some of the intercompany loans and other elements. So there is obviously a part of fluctuation coming from FX, and you know FX has been very volatile. So I hope it does answer your question. I'm going to hand over to Charles for the other aspects, the other question you'd asked.
So I would say on the first question, which was the difference between Q1 and Q2, on Grupo Mabe performance. So I would say, first of all, the performance that Grupo Mabe and the Blondes in Mexico are delivering is higher than what we had in plan when we made the acquisition model. So the good piece is it's overperforming. Now, the difference between Q1 and Q2 is it's a very active competition reaction in the marketplace, because we have been gaining share for the last 18 months. And you can imagine that the main competitor in front of us has reacted in a lot of promotional activity, that hit the ground in Q2, and the consequence is the reaction, the time to react will be Q3, Q4 for our side. But net, our performance is in the high single, low double digit for the market, which is far ahead of our growth model of 4-6%. So Grupo Mabe is accretive to Ontex, and you still have to keep in mind that the division is accretive to Ontex.
Maybe one follow-up, if you may. Could you clarify a little bit the last sentence on page 2 of your press release saying, on based on the current level of oil-based commodity indices, we anticipate a positive impact from pricing. Do you then mean on pricing of the top line, or do you mean also on the commodity cost and therefore on margins?
Just let me first look where you are.
Keep it positive.
What is on page 2 of the...
Yes, on page 2 of the press release, last sentence.
But it's the price of the commodities we are talking. It's nothing to do with our price.
Yeah.
It's in the sentence, it means that we anticipate a positive impact, which in our view is positive for our P&L.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question.
Can you see if there are still some questions?
We'll now take our next question from Juan Carrion of ING. Thank you.
Good morning. Just a quick question. Can you please just give us a view in terms of your acquisition appetite going forward and strategy?
So, thanks for reminding us. Well, as we said, nothing has changed. So it's good to remind us. Our objective is to deliver organic growth, and that's the measure of our true performance, while contemplating acquisition because it's part of our model. So the list of companies that are, let's say, on our in the pipeline is still quite long, and we are working hard in parallel of delivering the results, the operating results, to continue to deliver our M&A strategy. The key criteria are still the same, outside of Western Europe, grounded and Inco, primarily. And of course, and trying to hit at least two of those three criteria. The second criteria is business where we can add value, but we start from the right foot, which are culturally as well fitting perfectly well with Ontex. And again, the good news is the list is still long. So I would say the appetite is still there, but as we say, we need to be two to tango. So the challenge for us is to make sure that we are fully aligned on value expectation on one side, and on the three-year plan of the target companies to make sure that they are realistic, I would say. But we hope there will be more to come, but we cannot comment, as you know.
No, I appreciate that. In terms of, in the short term, do you feel that you basically have to focus more on integration, or are you still free to basically, if anything comes up that's opportunistic or, you know, value-added, a fits your criteria, would you be constrained?
Well, there's a couple of elements in your question. The first is the financial constraints. The second is the operating constraints. And the third is the timing. I would say financially, we have been very disciplined. As Jacques highlighted, we are in the middle of our comfort zone in terms of leverage. We have the ability to raise enough money to contemplate or to deliver some more acquisition. So this one is not an issue. It's more right time, I would say. Second, from an operating standpoint and from a management standpoint, what I like is the end and not the or. So if you tell me, should we go only integrating Mabe or doing something else, I would try to push the team to say, let's do both. If you were in the room, you would see that some of them are smiling. But I believe that if we want to deliver what we said in the next 5 years, We cannot afford to say, okay, let's wait and pause and see how it goes. Now, what I said and I still repeat is it depends on the magnitude of the target company. If the company we are contemplating is part of a division, it is managed mainly by the division. And as we are strengthening the group, some of the group function, as it was highlighted by one of your colleagues at SocGen, indeed, we build our finance, IT, legal team to make sure that we are ready to be able to manage centrally the next target. Now, so we believe that it's not an issue. And then the consequence, it remains to the last point, which is the timing. And the timing is we are there, ready. Now we need the person in front of us to be ready as well. So, and this one I cannot comment because I don't want to give any hint on what would be the target companies. But it's clear that we are, I would not say opportunistic as you mentioned, because it would like to, I would not like people to perceive that it's not strategic. We stick to our strategic parameters, but rightly we look at the feasibility in real time. So if it's the right moment, yes, we will accelerate. If we have to wait, we are there for the long time, so we are not in a hurry. We just want to make the right call at the right time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our final and follow-up question comes from Ian Simpson of Societe Generale.
Thanks very much for allowing me a follow-up. Little question. On the margin guidance, back at your full-year results, you talked about adjusted EBITDA margins being broadly similar year-on-year this year. You're now talking about at least in line. Now, to me, that sounds like a small incremental upgrade because broadly similar means they could be up or down a little bit on last year, but at least in line means they're going to be flat or a bit higher. I guess, am I right thinking that's an incremental upgrade to your margin guidance, albeit a small one? And then secondly, if so, what's changed over the last 6 months to make you more optimistic?
Well, I would say, and I speak on behalf of my my beloved CFO, but yes, indeed, you read between the lines very clearly, and you weigh every word, so you could interpret in the right way, as you said. Now, what makes us to do that? If you remember when we announced our transaction, we said we would come later, and we didn't want to comment too much on procurement synergies and lots of elements because we say it's work in progress. There was a lot also of uncertainty on volatility, and I think we as a management team are very prudent, so we don't want to be too optimistic. Now we believe that we are in the middle of the year, so you got already 6 months that are behind us. Things are well under control. The efficiencies are there. The synergies are progressing well, and we know that they will unfold on the balance of the year. We still have, as everybody, I assume, a question mark on the Forex that, as I mentioned, if you remember, has been hitting us big time on the first half, but we have absorbed it, so that's the good news. So even if the competitive landscape is pretty challenging, indeed, we are, let's say, slightly more optimistic or more positive than apparently the perception we triggered 6 months ago.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no questions at this time. I would like to hand the call back to Mr. Bouazizi for any closing remarks.
Okay. So, well, thanks very much for your interest and your time. And I know it's a very busy day with lots of corporate results. So a big thank you. I'm really, really pleased to see the strategic and operational progress we made so far, as it's demonstrated in our results. And I'm also very pleased with the integration of Mabe that is really fully on track. We, as a team, as a company, look forward to continue to deliver strong results in H2. We'll speak to you in the following months, or at least for Q3 results. I would like to thank you all. Say goodbye and wish good holidays for those who will take some holidays during the summer. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. This concludes Ontex's second quarter and half year 2016 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.